1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk, is proud to bring you The Rick Chamberlain Show. The Rick Chamberlain Show is brought to you by
Bud Light, America's favorite light lager. Milano's Pizza Subs and Taps, creating delicious memories since 1969. On Brown Street, near the University of Dayton campus, Premier Health is proud to be the official healthcare provider for UD Athletics. Learn more at premierhealth.com/sportsmed. And by Logan AC and Heat Services, the official heating and cooling partner of the UD Flyers, helping fans stay comfortable all season long.
Here's the voice of the Flyers, Larry Hanskin, and University of Dayton head football coach, Rick Chamberlain.
And good evening, everyone, and welcome to Milano's on Brown Street, another edition of the Rick Chamberlain Show here on the home of the Flyers. We're here every Monday night, 7 to 8, talking Dayton football in advance of Monday night football, featuring two former Flyers leading their prospective teams, John Gruden, the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders, and another former Flyer quarterback, Brandon Staley, the first-year head coach of the L.A. Chargers. So the focus will be on Dayton football tonight, not just for the next hour on our program, but nationwide. We'll talk more about that later on, but Dayton coming off what can only be described as a heartbreaking loss on Saturday on the road at Morehead State, 45-38 in overtime, a game in which, boy, a play here, a play there, it could have been different, but Coach, is it fair to say that your team did not play well enough to win?
That's exactly right, Larry. And as you said, it was a heartbreaker because we knew that we didn't play at our best. And what hurt the most was we had opportunities. They had opportunities, Morehead. They capitalized. We didn't. Dropped interceptions, dropped passes, mental error on different coverages and things. So you look back through it, and that's the thing. If you get blown out, you don't remember much of the game. But when you get these games that are just decided in the last minute or very close, you can look back to those three or four plays would have changed the whole complexion of the game. I mean, right from the start there, we get a field goal blocked on our first drive. We don't have that field goal blocked. Regulation, we win on that. So it was not a great game for us. I applaud our team for fighting like they did, because there were a couple of times through that game where a lot of teams, I think, would have given up. I really do, when you're down by 10 twice. But Dayton hung in there. It just didn't have enough at the end.
When you lose at the end, in overtime especially, so much focus gets attached to that. That I think, like you say, you don't, the casual observer, maybe a fan out there, doesn't remember the rest of the game and those, like you say, those missed opportunities, but also the things that you did really well coming off the mat twice.
Correct. And really got up and made some plays when we needed to. Sam here tonight making some great catches for us to keep drives going. Defensively making some stops late in the game to give our offense the opportunity to move the ball. Brandon Easterling on a great punt return late in the game, 20-some yards that put us in a position to move the ball, to get in position to tie it up there. So it just didn't happen in overtime. It happened throughout the game where these little incidences led to the end result.
All right, we'll take a look at more about what happened on Saturday, not so much dissecting the game, but just looking at, you know, different aspects of the game, which were good and some that, you know, need a little work. But we also want to get to know our two student athletes who we have with us here tonight. We've got defensive tackle Mike Stodola in from Barrington, Illinois, and then also Sam Bubonix out of Solon, Ohio. So, Mike, we'll start with you. You've been on the program, I think, before, but just pretend like you've not spoken to our audience. Tell us about your high school background. What brought you to the University of Dayton?
No, like Larry said, I'm from Barrington, Illinois. What really brought me here was there was two older people who played here, Nick Bart and Logan Mays, and they were a big influence on me coming to the University of Dayton. They just told me about the atmosphere, what the team is like, and how it's just not found in other universities and programs, really. And up on top of that, the schools here are great, and they churn out great great careers for everyone that goes through.
And you had the opportunity, you know, that you played right from the get-go. A lot of guys will redshirt that first year, but you were seeing the field early on. How'd that feel?
It felt pretty good. It definitely helped in the long run, just getting used to the pace of play and just how much faster and more physical it is in college versus high school.
Now, Sam Bubonic from Solon, which has turned out a lot of Dayton football players, including your older brother, Joe. So tell us about your high school background and what made you follow in the family footsteps.
Yeah, like I said, I went to Solon High School, and first started when Steve Valentino, there's a picture of Steve in his senior year with my brother and I on the field. So he was like a hero to me. So then, and Corey Stewart and Ryan Schwenke and, of course, my brother. So that I think that was the final straw, like, okay, this is obviously a place where people love to go and love to play football and play, like, a high level of football. So I think that was a stepping stone for me.
Football is definitely in the family blood.
That's right.
Not just your brother, but your dad as well, right?
Yeah, that's right. Defensive coordinator for, I think, 18 years now, so.
Mm-hmm. Now, so your brother is on that side of the ball, but – you know, you're trying to be a bane to defensive coordinators.
That's right.
What made you go over to the dark side?
I played both in high school, but I think I wasn't big enough to play safety here, or I didn't tackle well enough. So, and I think I just like playing receiver a lot more. I like scoring touchdowns, having the ball in my hand. So I think that's better. Than playing defense.
Coach, so you had decisions to make about both these guys. And in Mike's case, it was a decision, wow, do we let him wait a year and then, you know, let the clock start counting on his 4 years with us, or do we get him on the field right away? What went into that decision?
What went into it, Larry, is we always tell our young men this when they're coming into freshmen. We look at how their progress is during camp, and how they might fit in the depth chart to determine, okay, are they going to get any playing time, or are we going to redshirt them? And the thing that stood out about Mike was his explosive first move, his punch that he was giving to the offensive lineman. And so we said, this young man has that natural ability. Let's see if he can learn the position now. And Mike did. He picked up the defenses and the techniques that we coach here at Dayton. And so after the first couple games, we let him get in and rotate in and things, because you want to see him in game action then. And he was showing us that he could play college football early in his career here. So we said, well, let's put him into the rotation. And it was a good thing. He had a very good first year for us here.
And with Sam, when did you make the decision, okay, he's going to be on the offensive side of the ball, this is where he can best succeed?
Like Sam said, he can't tackle very well. So we made that real fast. No. His dad coached him up. He did. But, no, he was a natural wide receiver. We could tell that. I mean, just the way he ran his routes, the way he caught the ball, all those things. But you know what I like about Sam? Larry, he still has that little defensive mindset, that little aggressiveness out on the football field there. He's not one of these guys that primps and all this in front of the mirror. I don't see Sam doing that. Sam just gets dressed, he gets out there, and he wants to play. That's what we liked about him at receiver.
All right, well, we're going to learn a lot more about both Sam Bubonic and Mike Stadola. We'll recap what happened Saturday down in Kentucky, but we'll also look ahead to another road trip. The Flyers heading to Des Moines, Iowa, and the Drake Bulldogs this coming Saturday. That's all to come as we continue. It's the Rick Chamberlain Show, and we are live at Milano's on Brown Street.
The Rick Chamberlain Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk. You're listening to The Rick Chamberlain Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO. Here's the voice of the Flyers, Larry Hanskin.
Hey, and welcome back to The Rick Chamberlain Show. Welcome back to Milano's on Brown Street, a great place to come during football season, well, year-round. Whether it's a Saturday afternoon, a Sunday afternoon, or a Monday night here for The Rick Chamberlain Show. And we're talking Dayton football, and as we're doing that, on the countdown to the ESPN Monday night game showing two former Flyers in action in their Dayton days, John Gruden and Brandon Staley.
Yeah, that was pretty neat. We were just sitting here talking, and up on the big screen there, all at once I saw Dayton uniforms in action there, and they were showing John and then Brandon. It was interesting, as we just said there, their highlight for Brandon was against Drake, or this week's opponent. You could tell it was Drake right away by their uniforms.
You know, one of the favorite stories that Mike Kelly tells about John Gruden was, I think it might have been John's senior year, and he was the number two quarterback and was not going to be seeing the field, but he wanted to see the field, so he goes in, asks Coach Kelly, he goes, can I be on kick coverage, kick returns and kick coverage? And Mike answered the question with a question. He said, John, you want to be a coach someday, don't you? And he goes, yes, sir. He goes, well, if your second string, your backup quarterback came to you and wanted to play on special teams, what would you say? And Gruden left the office.
Right. He knew right then and there. Said, you can't do that. You can't put that backup out there.
You know, I think it speaks to, Rick, is that, you know, and the guys here just alluded to what drew them to Dayton, you know, the school, the camaraderie, but there's an excellence there. There's a, you know, football matters. And if you're interested in football, if you've got a passion for the game and some football IQ, you know, it's a great place to be. And case in point, you know, yeah, we've got a lot of doctors. We've got some lawyers. We've got tons of engineers that have come through this football program. It was turned out some pretty good coaches.
Pretty good coaches also. And John Brandon are just a couple examples, and we got a number of them out there, like Kevin Johns, who's the offensive coordinator at Memphis. We got Terry Heffern, who's the line coach at Stanford, and it goes on and on there. And it just, I think, like you were saying, Larry, when young men who want to be a part of something special, something that has high standards and what they do, how they do that, and you win, Dayton's the place. And that's what attracts them here, because they know they could have a future in something at, coming here, whether it's being a lawyer or an engineer, like you said, or going into coaching. I know we have a couple guys on our team senior year. Sam's brother Joe, he wants to be a coach someday. And so it's a great beginning for him here that I think will pay dividends for them.
All right, now the two guys seated with us at the table, they've got some playing to do long before they can think about what the next part of their life is going to be. And Mike Stadola, coming off a solid performance in the loss to Morehead State, five tackles, he had a sack and another tackle behind the line of scrimmage. I'm going to maybe blow your mind with a stat, okay? Because heading into the game, the Dayton defensive lineman, yourself included, of course, had seven sacks. It took, in 2019, it took until the season finale against Butler for the defensive line to record its seventh sack. How much better are you guys as a unit now?
I think we just improved exponentially. I mean, it just goes to show, me and Kyle Finnick and then Mason Stauffer and then Chris Pepe on the line, we just had time. We've kind of melted together and gone along together, and it's just the time has shown that we've improved on the techniques that coaches have been teaching us, and just overall just putting things together and executing when we need to.
This is one of the few football shows in America where one of the players is going to use the word exponentially and use it correctly, so I applaud you for that Mike. Sam, you're part of a group of guys too. And as wide receivers, do you think of yourselves as a collective entity, or is it, you know, I just do my thing?
Yeah, I would say we're all very close in the receiver room, and especially because none of us really have played a serious amount of snaps, so we all knew that we had to help each other to, like, be ready for the game and not just one senior leader like we had, like, Kyle Butts, like in 2019, or Ryan Skiminski. We're all leaders in every way we do it. like not just vocal, but like what we do in the practice field. Just okay, he made that play. All right, I'm gonna make a better one. So we're very competitive. So to make each other better.
I love the fact that we're seeing so many firsts. You know, you get your first reception, and then Hazel got his first reception, and then okay, now Joey Swanson, he gets his first TD pass. Cameron Speck makes his first catch ever. Yeah. You know, it's a 51-yarder. It's interesting, and Coach, I'll let you comment on this. I mean, literally seeing a group grow up in front of you.
It is, Larry, and it's fun. And we knew this going into the season. We had talked about it, you and I, there, about the depth at our wide receivers that I felt was a strong point for us. In years past, Sam was just saying, we had Ryan Skibinski, we had Kyle Butts. That's who you leaned upon.
He had a pretty good tight end, too.
He fit in there once in a while. but then, all at once, those guys are gone, and then we've recruited over the last couple of years young men to come in that we felt would be pretty good receivers, and lo and behold, now we've got a pretty good group that we can choose from, and that's really good. Sam can tell you, as a wide receiver, being able to rotate people in, keep people fresh, keep that pressure on the defensive secondary there, and that they're all big play guys. They can catch the ball. They've got very good speed. So that position has been fun to watch over these first four games.
Taking nothing away from the Dayton receiving corps, they're doing an outstanding job for you game by game, but you may have seen the best receiver in the Pioneer Football League on Saturday from Morehead State, B.J. Byrd. Yep. I mean, just 14 catches, 191 yards, 3 touchdowns. And he was a handful.
Oh, and it just wasn't – he's fast. I mean, that's the one big skill he has. But he's strong. You saw there a few times. I mean, he just snatched the ball out of the air, strong hands. And then he was tough to bring down. Just a big body.
Thick guy.
Yes. He's not a thin guy at all. You would hit him, and he just never went down easy there. And if you missed, not many people are going to catch him. And that's what he did to us.
Well, and that is behind the Dayton Flyers. And now that 45-38 loss on the road at Morehead State, a lot of football still ahead in the PFL with, really who's going to win this thing. Who knows at this point in time? The league title is certainly up for grabs, but the most important game is the next game. It's Drake coming up on Saturday. We'll talk about that when we continue. It's the Rick Chamberlain Show, and we're live at Milano's on Brown Street.
The Rick Chamberlain Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk. You're listening to The Rick Chamberlain Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO. Here's the voice of the Flyers, Larry Hanskin.
And welcome back here to Milano's, where they've got the Oktoberfest menu going on now. Make sure you check it out. German beers, German menu items, and of course, all the favorites you've come to know and love through the years here at Milano's. Not just Monday nights, throughout the week. Of course, after a home Flyer game on Saturday, you'll find a great crowd here. Also Sundays as well. Lunch crowd. It's a good place to come, folks. Check it out. Dayton will not be home, though, this Saturday. Back-to-back road games in the Pioneer Football League with a trip to Drake coming up. And, looking at scores in the league, you just don't see anybody that looks like they're just going to go run away and hide.
It's not, Larry. And we've been seeing this trend over the last few years in the PFL. 20 years ago, 15 years ago, Dayton, San Diego, maybe somebody else would pop up here and there. But this year, when you look at the teams, what they had back, how they had played in 19 and then some played in the spring, I really felt like that any of the top 5-6 teams going into the season could absolutely win the conference. It wasn't the top 2 or 3. And then these scores on Saturday, I think, proved it in that of all the PFL games, they were won by a touchdown or less. There was another overtime game. The Valparaiso Maris game was an overtime like ours. And that's what I was telling the team. The team knows this. Every week is going to be a challenge. I don't care what the record is going into our game. It's going to be a tough battle. Whoever we play, whenever we play them in the season here, and that's just the way the PFL is right now.
And the one thing, though, that I think remains unchanged through the history of the league is that with the exception of the in-state rivalry between Valparaiso and Butler, Dayton is everyone's big game. You know the folks at Drake have circled. They've circled this game coming up on Saturday. It happened last Saturday. Moorhead, they had that game circled. And
yep.
If you got Dayton on the front of your jersey, you're going to get everyone's best shot.
You're going to get everybody's best shot. There's no doubt. And teams have told us that. I mean, they've told us, hey, this is the biggest game for us. They don't care if they would go 1-10 as long as they beat Dayton. And they just want to make sure that it's the best week of preparation for them and that they are so sky high to play Dayton on a Saturday there. I still remember back when San Diego, they'd interview their players and they say, oh, it's Dayton week. The coaches coach a little louder. The hitting's a little harder. That's just what Dayton brings out of people. And we have to just match that intensity, but we just go about it, okay, it's another opponent. Nobody special. We just want to play.
Well, we got two members of the state and football team with us, wide receiver Sam Bubonics and also defensive tackle Mike Stodola. And Mike, when you hear something like that, that you know you're getting that other team's best shot, that there's a little something extra in it for them when they see a flyer across the line from them, how does that make you feel?
I get excited. I mean, I like the challenge. I hope everyone brings all they got every Saturday when we play them. I mean, that's another reason why I came here is just the prestige and the everything around the name of Dayton drives just the best, and then it gets the best from everyone else as well.
You know, Sam, every team has an identity, and you guys, I think, are still kind of creating yours. But I sense being around you guys that you're intense, but it's not an intensity that is necessarily you're wearing on your sleeves that everyone can see, oh, look how fired up we are, look how jacked up we are, amped up we are. Is it something more of an internal type of thing?
I would say so, because every time, like, we face a team where they're all rah-rah on, like, the other side, I think that's just noise. It doesn't matter what that happens that game. Once we step in the lines, the clock starts, that's when the real intensity starts. And I think our intensity is, like, unmatched, and we play with tremendous effort, so.
You know, as a group, Rick, when you've got so many young guys, and like I say, there's been so many firsts, first game, first catch, first carry, first tackle, you know, first communion. I mean, you got the whole, you got the whole gamut here. But while coaches love to have veterans, is it fun though to have a group of a group that you can really mold into what you want them to be?
Absolutely, Larry. It's fun to be around them, to see them grow, to see them get excited when they succeed. And you as a coach, you get excited when you feel like, okay, the light bulb's gone on and they are performing at what we feel that they can do here. And plus, you get to that point there where you hear it said sometimes they just don't know any better how serious something might be. They're just out there playing. They don't think too much about it. They just go and play and have fun. And that's a great atmosphere to be around.
Now, Mike Stodola, you are a veteran, though, on this team, and you've got some games under your belt. You've got that experience. And you know, without being named a captain, do you still find yourself in a leadership role?
Yeah, I mean, I believe so. I mean, any senior or person who has experience on the field should be in a leadership role and help encourage the guys who are – it is their first catch, their first tackle, and just helping them along and encouraging them along the way just to – help ease that transition. So yeah, I believe I am.
When you see those young guys, those pure freshmen, do you want to tell them, hey guys, it goes by quick. It goes by quick. Enjoy this.
No, yeah, really. I mean, especially I was in their shoes. It feels like yesterday. So I definitely preach that because it goes by fast.
Coach, this team, I think, we're not, like I say, we're not going to dissect Morehead State again, but where are you seeing the strides made by this team as far as improvement week to week to week?
I think one is our D-line. I really do. I think that has shown us some growth there, and the guys are starting to play more consistent there. I thought our offensive line is growing. They learned a few things Saturday against that Morehead defensive front. That was a good defense up there, and I think they'll learn from what they experienced there. I just feel like our wide receiver has been strong and one that we're getting confidence in. We threw a lot there Saturday, a number of passes from Jack. Understand Jack was like 4 yards off the record of yardage in a game that he set against San Diego a few years ago. So we're getting confident in that wide receiver group, and we just need to see a little bit more consistency out of some of our other groups. And if we can get that, Larry, we'll play a complete game. And it seems like I was talking about this last Monday. We have not played a complete game yet. That we could say from the opening kickoff to the final whistle, we haven't played a consistent 4 quarters yet, and we need to. If we're going to get our goals for the PFL against the opponents we're going to play, we have to play a consistent 4 quarters.
Well, the opportunity is coming up this Saturday on the road at Drake. More specifically about the Bulldogs and their addition this time around. Also, we're going to learn a lot more about Mike Stadola and Sam Bubonics away from football. That's all coming up as we continue the Rick Chamberlain Show. And we're live here at Milano's on Brown Street.
The Rick Chamberlain Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's news and talk. You're listening to The Rick Chamberlain Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO. Here's the voice of the Flyers, Larry Hanskin.
Hey, welcome back here to Milano's on Brown Street. Welcome back to The Rick Chamberlain Show. Dayton now 2-2 on the year, 1-1 in the Pioneer Football League. And heading to Des Moines, Iowa this weekend. A game against Drake that will kick off at 1 o'clock Dayton time. Pre-game coverage will start here with Mike Kelly and me at 12:30 on Saturday afternoon. Before we get into the X's and O's of the Drake Bulldogs, let's learn more about our student-athletes who are with us here tonight. Mike Stadola is with us here out of Barrington, Illinois. And I get confused as to where you are class-wise. I know this is your fourth year at the University of Dayton, okay? So you're a senior. What are you majoring in?
I'm majoring in marketing and entrepreneurship.
Okay, with the thought of doing what?
I don't know, to be totally honest. I picked those two majors because I tend to have like a business mindset, and I figured those two majors would help me in any avenue of business, just knowing the inside and out in entrepreneurship and then marketing, just being able to like narrow down like a target market and just understand why they buy the product and who to sell to.
Can you know, with the entrepreneurship aspect of it, could you envision yourself having your own business someday?
Maybe one day. One of my aspirations is to open up a gym down the road and just operate that out of my house here. So I don't know.
Okay. So, you know, just kind of a Gold's Gym type thing, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. Some where just come lift heavy weight and keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's the secret. Move heavy things and sweat. It's a simple formula. That's how you get in shape, folks, okay? Move heavy things and break a sweat. So what do you do for if you're not in class or if you're not in the practice room or the weight room, although we've had some guys say that is their source of recreation and relaxation, what's Mike Stadola do for fun?
One of my big hobbies, I love to golf, so anytime that I have free time outside football in class, I'll either go to the range or see if anyone wants to go play nine or so while it's nice out. And then also I like to I'm really interested in like the stock market and like trading, so I like look at trends and just analyze kind of.
Okay, so who's the best golfer on the team?
I'd say Jack Cook is probably the best golfer on
okay.
the team.
Okay, yeah. Because he just wants to be. Well, it doesn't surprise me that. Okay, so Sam, you're a little less down the road in your career, so you are a redshirt freshman, right? This is your second year at UD?
Yeah, third year.
Oh, your third year. Okay, so you got some classes under your belt. What's your major?
It's communication, concentration, and media production.
Okay, so it does not sound as if you are going down the coaching path, or maybe you are.
I am. The first option is to be a college football coach, and that's something I always wanted to do since probably I started playing high school football. That I want to, once I'm done playing, I want to step into the coaching role like my dad did, my uncle, a few of my uncles did. So,
what is it about coaching that appeals to you?
I just say, breaking down, like an offensive tendencies or frequencies, and predicting what they're going to do, and just getting the guys to know that so they can win the game.
Okay. So when you're not studying your opponent, the Drake Bulldogs, the case in point this week, or if you're not on the practice field in the classroom, what's Sam Bubonics do for fun?
I love to watch movies, and I haven't played any golf, but I do like to play golf in the summer. But yeah, I like watch movies, watch TV. I know it sounds pretty lazy, but I'm a pretty active person.
You guys are entitled to a little downtime.
Yeah, that's right.
So I mean, have you seen Little Giants? I mean, that was the movie on the bus.
It, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So maybe someday you can incorporate the annexation of Puerto Rico into your
That's
game
right.
plan when you're a coach someday.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've learned a little bit more about our two student athletes. Now let's learn more about the Flyers' opponent coming up, Drake Bulldogs. Here again, Coach, it's a familiar opponent. Yes, they've had some coaching changes through the years and personnel obviously changes, but is this kind of another typical Drake team?
It is, Larry. Because they've had a philosophy, a formula for years on what type of players they want in their program. And what they are, they're big offensive linemen, physical defensive linemen, and linebackers. And they've stayed true to that formula here in 2021. You watch their film, and sure, their schemes may change a little bit, their emphasis on certain plays on offense or their alignments on defense, but it's still the hard-nosed, get-after-you type of football. That's what they believe in. It works for them. They're a good football team, a very good football team. They lost a close one to Valpo in the last seconds, had a field goal blocked that would have tied the game. And then they played at Butler and won a close one there. So they've been in both games there. They fought to the very end. So I wouldn't expect anything less from them when we get there on Saturday.
When the Butler game, like a 6-3 final?
6-3 final. The weather didn't look good. You know,
okay.
We got that little bit of rain. It looked like throughout their game they were getting that wet stuff there. But it was a game that back and forth. No one really threatened for the most part of the game there. But I'm telling you, physical players. They just love playing football. They love hitting people. And that's what we're going to have to be ready for.
Well, you know, everyone's got some fond memories of the last time that Dayton and Drake played, because that might have been one of the better comebacks in Dayton football history, albeit really a comeback that began in the first half.
It was. I'm telling you, the game started very slow for us. I mean, they were on fire, scoring. It seemed like every time they touched the ball offensively, we couldn't move the ball. And then we started, our offense started moving and making some scores and all that. But then right before halftime, they put together a drive that I think was going to put them up by two touchdowns. And Brandon Easterling picks one off in the end zone and returns a 100-yard touchdown there. It really changed the momentum there, really got us going. In the second half, we came out. Third quarter, we dominated it there and just kept building the lead up there. But that first quarter, it looked like it was going to be a blowout.
I tell you what, I've seen a lot of Dayton football games, and I've got a lot of great memories, but a lot of them are in Dayton-Drake games. And there's some that are not so good memories in Dayton-Drake games, but there's been some that, and they've just been so well contested through the years.
Very similar young men, Drake players and Dayton players, and just and how they go about playing the game of football there. And like you said, Larry, the games have been ones that you remember. They're not just another game. There's something special about them. I mean, talking about Steve Valentino, yeah. 2010, the Hail Mary right at the end there, and Luke Bellman catching it in the end zone there to win the game, and Mike Ramacombe blocking a punt late in the game that helped us win out there back in the 90s when we were playing them there. So it's been a long history there. Great games, very entertaining games. So we've got to be ready.
All right. Well, Mike Stadola, as you get ready for Drake, what are you doing this week to be the best version of you come Saturday?
I think a lot of it comes down to Drake is just mentally preparing that you're going to go into a dogfight for 60 minutes. They're going to, like that coach said, they don't do anything fancy, any like trickery stuff. They just come out and try to just beat you with size and aggression. So you just got to prepare to go into a fight for 60 minutes.
All right. Sam, with your coaching aspirations and your love of film, what are you doing to study this Drake defense this week?
I would say just study their main concepts and what their defensive backs do so I can get, like, the upper hand on, like, what they do in certain routes so I can run those certain routes better than what, like, Butler did, like, played. And I think they played I don't know who they played besides Butler, but, yeah, just study the defensive backs and see what I can do best to get open.
All right. And, Coach Chamberlain, it's all on you because you got to get all these guys ready. What's your point of emphasis this week?
Our point of emphasis is to be more consistent in a game, Larry. That's like I was saying earlier. We just have to start better. The last few games, we have not started well that first quarter, and we got to start well against Drake.
All right, it's Dayton at Drake. It's Saturday with a 1 o'clock kickoff. Pre-game coverage with Mike Kelly and me will begin here on the home of the Flyers at 12:30. Then we will be back here next Monday night. We'll talk about it again here on the Rick Chamberlain Show. On behalf of our engineer producers tonight, Alex Schilling and John Tisdall, Mike Stadola, Sam Bubonix, and, of course, the coach, Rick Chamberlain. I'm Larry Hanskin. Have a great week, everyone. Go Flyers.
The Rick Chamberlain Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk.
WHIO Dayton, WHIO FM Pleasant Hill, a Cox Media Group station from the CJSHeatingAndAir.com studios. You call, we come, it's fixed.